And a very good morning to you. It's John Fradgley from the Bell Legal Group, back with you for another program of The Law and You, your opportunity to get free legal advice here on a Tuesday morning. All we need you to do is call that telephone number, 55208888. That's 55208888. If you live south of the Tweed River, don't forget you need to put 07 in front of the number if you're calling. And we always have our email address, talkback@4crb.com. If you're not able to get to the phone and get a call through for today, you can always send us an email and we'll deal with that in next week's program. Well, what a bumper month it's been since the start of September, the start of spring, and spring has certainly sprung because we've been getting record calls through to the program over the last 2 weeks, and let's hope today is no exception. You could be our first caller if you get on that telephone right now, 55208888. Now, you may remember that George called in last week and he was talking about the contesting of wills, and in particular he mentioned that he has two biological children, but there was one child, an older child, who was adopted out many years ago, and his query was whether the child could claim on his estate. And you may remember that I said, look, my gut feeling, my recollections of this area, because it's certainly not something we look at every day, was that once a child is adopted, then they lose their rights in relation to the estate of their biological parent to make a claim. So as I promised to George, I did do a bit of research in this area between last week and this week, and certainly in Queensland, a child once adopted loses all rights. They are no longer regarded as a child of their biological parent and therefore don't have any rights to make a claim. In New South Wales, it's substantially the same, although there are a few more limited exceptions where a biological child might be able to make a claim on an estate, on the estate of their biological parent. But look, essentially the situation is that once a child is adopted, they are no longer regarded as the child of the biological parent. They become a child of their adopted parents and are therefore have all of those rights in relation to the estates of their adopted parents. So they do certainly have a right to make a claim on that estate. But enough of that. We've got George online again. Good morning, George. How are you today?
Hi, good morning, John. I'm the same George you were just talking about.
Oh, right, OK.
Thanks very much for that information, John. But I appreciate that. But I've got another issue that I would like you to help me with.
Sure.
I recently saw a poster advertised for a action against the energy companies because they're, you know, charging us too much for power. Anyway, I responded to it just out of curiosity because I feel that, you know, my power bills just keep going up every single time I get one. And this company is a large Brisbane company. I won't mention who they are. What do you think about class actions, John? I'm just a bit weary about entering into it or not.
Look, the situation is that the most important thing in relation to a class action is to make sure that in the event that the class action is unsuccessful, that there is no possibility of any claim for costs coming back against you as one of the participants in a class action. And my recollection is that the law has been changed in that regard so that it is a requirement that that if a class action is undertaken, particularly no win, no fee, that the law firm taking that on have to provide an indemnity, both in relation to costs. Now, in exchange for doing that, it's also my understanding that the quantum of costs that the law firm takes is substantially higher than what, for example, the normal Supreme Court scale would be, or indeed what might normally be their normal charge-out rates. So you need to look at all of those factors so that you can determine what the likelihood is, what the likely return is going to be for participating in the class action, because the last thing you want to do is participate in a class action, find that the class action is won, that by, but by the time all the legal costs are paid, you know, you get, just a minuscule amount of money, and you therefore question whether it was worth it.
John, sorry to interrupt, but what they told me, they said guaranteed absolutely no cost at
yep.
all, no cost for win or lose.
Yep.
They said the worst thing that can happen is if they lose the case, you get nothing.
Yep.
Right, and you've paid nothing, and they if they win, you will get something. So they said absolutely no, but what they've done is they've sent me a massive big, huge like a book of papers. It's nearly 30 pages, which is all Chinese to me, and I'm a bit weary of signing it.
Yes.
So I'll sign that and return it or not.
George, whereabouts do you live on the Gold Coast?
I live on the northern end.
All right. Okay. Well, look, what I would suggest you do is give the Gold Coast Community Legal Centre and Advice Bureau a call. Have you got a pen handy?
Yes. Just a second. Yes. Go ahead,
Tom. Okay, so their telephone number is 553-29611.
329611.
Yes. 553-29611. Now, they do have their main office in Southport, but they do also have visited centres up and down the coast. And from memory, they do visit a centre up around Coomera. So you could give them a call and take your paperwork in there, and they would hopefully be able to go through it with you and just explain it all to you in plain English. But what you're saying about what you were told rings true for my recollection. I don't practice in the area of commercial litigation, and particularly class actions or no win, no fee. But I do have a recollection of a case some years ago where the case was lost on a no win, no fee basis, and an order for costs was made against the plaintiff, and the costs order was against the plaintiff personally, and there was a great big outcry about it, and I think as a result of that the government changed the law to provide that in both class actions and in no win no fee litigation that the law firm taking it on have to give you a guarantee. The other thing too you need to be a little bit wary of is if they use what's referred to as litigation funding, because the litigation funders can often charge an exorbitant amount to provide the funding to the law firm to take the case on, and that again can eat away what might potentially be the result of the claim. So just go into it all carefully, but if it all stacks up, well, happy days.
They only told me by phone, guaranteed, like verbally.
Yeah. But it should be in that paperwork you've got. So, George, that's the reason why I'm telling you to get that checked out.
Okay, but I don't understand a word of that paperwork.
That's why I'm telling you to take it to the Gold Coast Community Legal Centre and Advice Bureau so that they can, and you can just raise the two questions you're really worried about. One is that under no circumstances will you have to pay a cent, and secondly, that if the case is lost, there's no possibility of any claim against you for costs or anything else.
Yeah, I was just worried about signing this thing before I posted it off.
You never sign anything until you get legal advice, George.
Yeah, okay. Thanks for your help, John.
Okay, then. All the very best. Time on 4CRB is rolling along. It's presently 14 minutes past 9, and we say a very good morning to patient Peter. G'day, Peter. How are you today?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Very well, thanks. How can I help?
I just wanted to confirm, with my wife and I have been on the tax-free pensioner, because we're pensioners for a long time, but I always forget the amount that you're allowed to earn without having to pay tax for pensioners.
Right. It's not something that I am aware of, Peter. You'd probably be better to call back on Thursday morning and speak to Finance Forum.
Because Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday morning. This morning is essentially legal questions and legal advice. But Finance Forum on a Thursday morning, they deal with all matters financial, including issues relevant to pensioners and how much you can earn, etc. Both how much you can earn before it affects your pension, and secondly, how much you can earn before you're required to lodge a tax return.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So if you
well,
give
I mean,
them a call, same telephone number,
55-20. I think it's around 36,000.
Look, as I say, I don't know at all, Peter. It's just not an area that I ever need to look at. So, unfortunately, I can't tell you. But if you ring back on Thursday morning, same phone number, 55-20-8888. At the same time, 9 o'clock, the program is Finance Forum, and the very helpful people there would be able to answer that question straight off the top of their heads.
Yeah. Well, the other thing that I'll mention is that the Prime Minister doesn't.
Sorry, Peter, we seem to have lost you there. I don't know what happened, but I can assure you we didn't cut your call off. So,
The Prime Minister doesn't require my money.
Oh, right, okay.
Is that okay?
No, that's fine. Look,
He doesn't need it.
The Prime Minister probably doesn't need your money, but maybe the nation does, so who knows. But don't, as Kerry Packer famously said before that Senate inquiry in relation to tax many, many years ago, why should I give you guys $1 more than I have to? Because you don't spend it very well. But anyway, be that as it may, I don't envy people who have to run government, so enough of that. But thanks for your comment and your call. And don't forget to ring back on Thursday morning.
On Thursday.
Yes. And the time on 4CRB just keeps rolling along. It's 16 minutes past nine. As we say, a very good morning to Anne. G'day, Anne. How are you today?
Good morning, John.
How can
I
help?
I've had this question to ask you for some time.
Sure.
When we lived in Wollongong, we had a power of attorney drawn up for both my husband and myself. Does that still apply in Queensland?
Yes, if it was a valid power of attorney made in New South Wales, and I assume that what you did was an enduring power of attorney?
Yes.
Okay, so that would be valid in Queensland. Just be aware that in New South Wales, you actually need two documents. You have an enduring power of attorney, which will deal with financial matters, and you also need to have an enduring guardianship, which will deal with personal and health matters. So just make sure that you've got the two documents. If you do, well, that's happy days. If you don't, then I would recommend that you get a new power of attorney done in Queensland, because the form of power of attorney in Queensland, the enduring power of attorney, covers both financial, personal and health matters. So it covers all of it. You don't need two documents.
Okay, I don't think I do have two documents.
Right, well, if you don't, then I would suggest that you get a new one done.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Okay, all the very best. And we have another caller online. It's Nancy. Good morning, Nancy. How are you today?
I'm good, thank you very much. Look, I'm just making an inquiry. My grandson has a unit which is in his name. Now, if his girlfriend moves in and it fails after, say, 18 months, is she entitled to half the unit?
No. The situation is that in order for there to be a de facto relationship existing between a couple, they need to have been living in a relationship of essentially husband and wife for a period of 2 years before they're regarded as a couple. The caveat to that is that if there was a child born of the relationship at any time or she became pregnant at any time during that 2 year period, then they are automatically regarded as a de facto couple, and that would change the dynamic. Now, just because they've lived together for 2 years also doesn't automatically mean that she would get anything out of your grandson's unit. It would depend on her circumstances. So say, for example, she's completely healthy, moves in with him, she has a job, he has a job, the relationship ends, then it would be unlikely that she would get anything out of it simply because she's been living there for 2 years. If she can simply move back home or move back to the circumstances she was in before she moved in with him, and basically continue on her life. Now, if, however, and this is after that two-year period has expired, if, however, there was a child born, that completely changes the situation, and then certainly your grandson may be liable for child support, and there may also be the possibility of an order for property settlement as between them as well.
I see. Oh, that's good. Well, thank you so very much. I love your program. I listen to it all the time.
Oh, thank you for the call.
Thank you so much.
Cheers now.
Thank you.
And the time on 4CRB is 20 minutes past nine. We do have time for a few more calls, so if you're out there with a question or a query, 55208888 is the number. That's 55208888. We'll be back after this word from our sponsor.
Are you over 65 and own a pet, or would like to but are worried you have no one to help look after your pet if you were hospitalised? Animal Welfare League's Golden Heart Seniors Pet Support Program breaks down the barriers that stand in the way of senior people owning pets. It helps make pet ownership as stress-free as possible and provides peace of mind and support they need to enjoy the many benefits of animal companionship. Whether you are looking for a companion animal with whom to share your life or you already own a pet, Animal Welfare League's Queensland's Golden Hearts is here to support you in every step of the way. Learn more about this wonderful holistic program and the many services it can offer you by calling 55099033, a sponsor.
21 minutes past nine right here on 4CRB. The program is The Law and You. It's your opportunity to get free legal advice, but there's only about 9 minutes left within which to do so. The lines are presently free, so if you have a question or a query, get on that telephone right now, 55208888. And as I started this morning, just referring back to the call that I had from George last week, who'd inquired about whether a child that has been adopted out has any rights against the estate of the of their biological parent. I also just had a bit of a look at the situation in relation to stepchildren, and I'll endeavour to provide some information in relation to that. But we have a caller online, and we'll say hello to Carol. Good morning, Carol. How are you today?
Oh, good morning, John. Good morning. I've just got one query.
Sure.
My brother is
executor of the will.
Yes.
Yeah.
And as yet, my mother died in February this year, and as yet we haven't had probate.
Right.
We didn't have a funeral because she didn't want a funeral, but in the will it did say that her wish was for a private funeral. So my brother has overread that. So how long does it take for this probate with this Corvic virus?
Mm-hmm.
Can he get an extension on it? Or
whereabouts was your mother living when she passed away?
In New South Wales.
Okay. So, look, there really shouldn't be any reason why the application for probate could not already have been filed. That's quite a long time. You're talking 7 months since your mother passed away. I would have thought that the application would have been filed by now. And is it a situation that you're simply not getting any communication from your brother?
Yes.
Right, okay.
Yes.
Because you can do a search with the Supreme Court of New South Wales and you can look at the probate applications and you could actually take a look and see whether he has in fact filed an application or not. One thing that you could consider doing. Secondly, do you know whether he's engaged a law firm to deal with the estate?
My mother had a solicitor, yes.
Mm-hmm.
My eldest sister.
Yeah, go on. No, after you.
No, my eldest sister, when my mum passed, she did write to the solicitor wanting the will.
Mm-hmm.
And she has got a copy of the will,
right.
My eldest sister.
Right.
But as yet, my brother hasn't collected the will.
Right, so the will is still with...
At the solicitor's
office. Okay, and did your mother own a home?
Yes. Yes.
Who's living in that home?
Nobody's lived in the home for nearly 4 years.
So it's just sitting vacant.
Yes.
Right, okay. Well, look, I think what you need to do, how many siblings have you got?
There's four of us.
Mm-hmm.
My brother's the youngest.
All right.
And I have two elder sisters.
All right. Well, what I would suggest you do is speak to your sisters, because what I think you need to do is get some legal advice in relation to the matter. And I would be having a letter written to your brother just advising that unless he moves promptly to take up the role as executor and to administer your mother's estate, that you and your sisters intend to apply to the Supreme Court for letters of administration with the will annexed, and to have him excluded as the executor.
Oh, okay, okay. Mm. So my nephew, he is executive of the will.
Oh, okay. Now, so it's not your brother who's the executor.
Yes, he's the top executor.
Oh, okay. So
okay,
are they executors together or are they alternate? So is it your brother, but if he's unable or unwilling to act, then the nephew?
Yes, that's correct.
All right.
Yes.
Okay. And has anyone been in touch with the nephew?
No.
Is the nephew the son of your brother?
No.
Okay, the son of one of the sisters. All right, yes. Well, he could make the application then as the alternate executor on the basis that your brother is unable or unwilling to act. So I would be getting together with your three sisters, or your two sisters, the three of you. I'd be getting some legal advice in relation to it and looking to ask the nephew, who's presumably the son of one of your sisters, to bring the application for probate on the grounds that your brother has failed to act diligently in the role.
Extension on the probate because of this COVID?
Look, not as far as I'm aware, because look, it does. I mean, it would be up to your brother to apply.
Apply online, can't he?
Yes, you can make the application online, but it'd be up to him to apply for an extension of time. I'm not aware that there's any thing that says that an executor doesn't have to apply for probate, and they are required to do so in a timely manner. Certainly in Queensland, there is absolutely no delay at all in getting probate. We're filing probate applications every week. And there's certainly no delay at all. There might be a week or so's delay in the orders coming through and some delays with the post, but beyond that, the applications are going through as normal. And quite frankly, I can't imagine that New South Wales is any different. I'm dealing with a lawyer from Sydney at the moment in relation to a matter, and he had a client who passed away earlier this year, and from memory, it was only around about June, has approached me to deal with a transmission by death in relation to some property that the client owned in Queensland. And we've already received the probate from him, a certified copy of the probate, so that we can apply for the transmission. That came through a couple of weeks ago. So, so clearly, there doesn't appear to me to be any delay at all.
I think he's just playing around. It's just a wait situation, I think.
But to what advantage? This is what I don't understand, because, I mean, the sooner the estate is administered and finalised, the sooner everyone gets what they're entitled to.
Well, that's correct, that's what we say. But my sister has looked into it all in New South Wales, and my other sister has wrote to the solicitor, to him, but he said, it's not his solicitor, so the letter's valid.
Yeah, well, the solicitor that holds your mother's will, he can't proceed to do anything about probate of the will until he receives instructions. And he can't act on the instructions of anyone other than your brother, or if your brother fails to act, then on the instructions of the nephew. So he probably could, that solicitor being your mother's solicitor, probably could accept instructions to bring the application for probate in the name of the nephew and to get appropriate orders to remove the brother as executor on the grounds that he's failed to act. But I would suggest that you all get together so that you can split the cost of what it's going to is what's going to be involved. And the other thing too, of course, is that you very well may be able to get an order for costs against your brother for whatever costs are involved in taking this alternate action because of his failure to carry out his duties as executor, unless he has decided to renounce probate. But if he had decided to renounce probate, he really should have notified you and or, at the very least, the alternate executor. All right, then.
Okay. Thank you, John. Thank you very much, Carol, for that.
No trouble at all. And the time is 9:30, which is all the time we have. We'll have the local news coming up next. John Fradgley from the Bell Legal Group, it's been great to be with you this morning for another program of The Law and You. I look forward to being back with you again next week at the same time. But until then, as always, it's goodbye and God bless.